Scripture reading this morning is from Luke 2, verse 10 and 11. We heard these words read already once this morning, but I just want to pick up on these two verses. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for you, for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." That was part of our Advent reading, and that's where we're at today. We have journeyed over the last 2 weeks. We've been talking about peace quite a lot, and I gave you an exercise to do where I said take pictures of lights and share them with us so that we can be reminded that Jesus is the light of the world. He brings peace. Then we spoke about hope, and there was an exercise to have a to-be list, not a to-do list, a to-be list. I want to be a more gentle person. I want to be a more caring person. I want to be, anyway, that was the to-be list. And today, we land up in joy. Now, it's interesting because I just spoke about joy a couple of weeks ago. So, you're getting, in 2019, a double dose of joy sermons. Good luck. Just keep smiling. I don't know if you've been around anywhere with a group of friends lately, maybe at a braai or something, and got to chatting. And inevitably, we go to certain places, Eskom and the load shedding, our current government, the world's economic state. Maybe we go to taxis. But we tend to gravitate towards those kinds of things. Well, here's my taxi video for you. I took this earlier this year. I was coming home from school, and I thought, why is the traffic moving so slowly? And then I realized that this guy clearly couldn't find first gear. And so this is how we were traveling along. And eventually I was able to say, you know, I've had enough of that. So we tend to, yeah, I know that was wild, wasn't it? I couldn't understand why the traffic was going so slowly. And then suddenly I thought, I've got to get my phone out and videotape this. This is just, I've never seen that before. But we tend to gravitate towards those things that really bug us or really are a pain or a problem, don't we? Seldom do we find the good news stories or the joy stories just bubbling to the top. Tend to go to the problem, and often despair is something that is contagious. We see these stories all the time, unfortunately. In the world's media, that's what we're flooded with, and it tends to, I believe, take our joy and kind of rob us of that joy. So, what is joy? It's interesting, if you go to the scripture that we read, the word is not joy that is used there, but it's got another word just before it, great joy. So this morning we're talking about great joy, not just regular run-of-the-mill joy, but great joy. So as the angel comes, the angel says it's going to be great joy. So what does that look like? Well, the dictionary tells us that joy is this. It's an emotion evoked by well-being, success, good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. So just in case anybody doesn't understand the word evoked, brought on by, caused by. So this thing, joy, is caused by all of these things. Well-being, success, good fortune, or by the prospect of getting what you want, having those things that you want. One of our big fears with going to camp, just by the way, and taking the eye care kids, was that we would lose a lot of stuff. They have nothing, these poor kids. And I thought, sure, it's going to be a real challenge. Well, would you believe it? We lost nothing. Nothing was stolen. Nothing went missing. Anyway, that's just a sidebar. So if this is really joy, then it's based on all of these things. You know, the outside, external stuff causes our joy. And that's not really what Christian joy is all about. You know, if you wake up in the morning and your wife makes you bad coffee, or if she doesn't make you coffee at all, thanks for adding that to my illustration, my love. If she doesn't make you coffee at all, well then what's that? You have no joy? It just, we can't live like that. We need a joy that is rooted in something more solid, something more permanent. And so that's what Christian joy is about. We are told that we will have trouble. If we trouble avoiders. We don't go looking for trouble. Well, not all of us, but there's some people. But you know what I mean? We don't, we go away from stuff that is uncomfortable. Jesus said this, John 16:33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So we will have trouble. We sometimes hear this gospel that talks about the fact that come to Jesus Christ and you will have no trouble. Your wallet will be full. Your health will be great. But unfortunately, Jesus said, you're going to have trouble, guys. It's not like there's not going to be trouble. But the way that we go through those troubles, the way that we weather the storm is very different. Because it's not based on what I experience, what I have, what I get. But it's based on Jesus Christ as our anchor, as our foundation, as our true and solid one that we can lean into. Then we don't have to worry about the fact that, oh, no coffee from my wife. Bad day. Great cup of coffee from my wife. Well, I never get coffee. So when that does happen, okay, I do sometimes. My apologies, my wife. Why'd you sit right in the front? Could you move? I know. Okay. I can see this is going to be a terrible day for Brian. Okay, now I do make coffee for my wife every morning. Yeah, can you just hold that thought for a moment? We just got to sort this out. Anyway, Jesus says we will have trouble. And we, as we look at the Bible and God's word, we can have joy. We will have trouble and we can have joy. And that's important to grab onto. Okay, so we constantly search for joy. We know people. And joy cannot be found in pleasure. This is where a lot of people try and find joy. The next experience, the next great thing. I quite like roller coasters, okay? So I just thought that was an appropriate picture. But we search for this pleasure, this next experience, in the hopes that that will give us joy. And we rest on the shoulders of the last experience that has given us joy. The media calls us to this place. Pleasure. Find it. Experience joy. Do this. Do that. That's where we sometimes look for joy. Joy cannot be found in riches. Many people seek after this for their joy. I read this very interesting article. This guy, Jay Gould, was an American millionaire back in the 18-somethings. If his money was linked to inflation and we could work out how much he's worth today, he would be worth this amount of money, $71 billion. So when we talk about wealthy, this is a good guy to kind of go to. He said this on his deathbed, "I suppose I'm the most miserable man on earth." Now, we think, give me $71 billion, I'm not going to be miserable. But unfortunately, that's not where we're going to find the joy that we think we might find. It's interesting to follow some of the stories of the people that won the lottery. There's been some research into that. Yeah, just I'll leave it there. We don't find joy, real joy, in those places. Joy cannot be found in prestige or fame. Hey? The Oscar. Anyway, if you look at Hollywood, this is where a lot of people in Hollywood strive. They long for this thing to fill that place that they need joy in. Now, if you remember the 11th of August, 2014, that was when Robin Williams committed suicide. Robin Williams, I remember in the movie Patch Adams. And his whole premise was that healing, well, Patch Adams, but it was based on, it was played by Robin Williams, that healing is quicker and better when there's joy. Remember, this picture is what I remember from that movie the most, The Red Nose. He won 2 Emmy Awards in his career, 6 Golden Globes, 2 Screen Actors Guild Awards, 5 Grammy Awards, and yet he committed suicide. We look for joy in so many different places, but often we don't find it in those places. Often not. So the angel appears to the shepherds and says that the birth of Christ is the reason for great joy. There it is again, great joy. Why did the angel proclaim this occasion? Angel says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. There's the key why this is great joy. It's the Messiah, the Lord. Remember that the Jewish people were waiting for the Messiah. All through the Old Testament, they had been promised that the Messiah would come. He would be the King of the world. He would save them. They thought at that moment he would save them from the Romans. He would be a mighty warrior on a horse and just, but it wasn't that at all. It was that he would bring salvation to the world. We read about this prediction in Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and then Prince of Peace. So this is what the Bible tells. All through the Old Testament, there's these arrows pointing towards the Messiah who will come, who will bring salvation. He will bring salvation to the world. One of the things we were talking about on camp was, well, the main theme was the Bible, but Caleb and I spoke about the book of Acts. And there's that moment where suddenly the Jewish folk who are following Jesus realize that the good news is not only for the Jewish people, but for the Gentiles as well. And we just see how at that moment, the Holy Spirit is poured out on people who are not Jewish. And all of the disciples stand back and go, wow, God has got this gift of forgiveness, salvation, grace, not only for us, but for everybody. And boom, the church is born. And we have got that moment where we can step into Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I want to experience your salvation. That's why it's great joy. Because we have been set free. John 10:10. It's not on the screen, just came to my head. I will give you life and life in abundance. It's what Jesus said. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I will give you life, life in abundance. That's what we experience at that moment when we say to Christ, set me free from this stuff. I don't want to live under the curse of sin anymore. And then we look. This moment when Christ is born is the fulfillment of the hope that we have that one day we will be with him in a better place. This awesome life now, life in abundance, and that moment when we sit with him in heaven and we rejoice in the fact that we are part of the kingdom in heaven. So there's salvation from sin. So how can we have this everlasting joy? So here's a couple of thoughts, okay, on how we can really experience this all the time. We know that God is in control of all the details of our lives. We know that he's the one that is with us. A couple of scriptures here. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Great promise. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. We've seen that verse many times. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So we know that God has got it. We can rest assured that he knows what is going to happen in our lives. The other thing we can rest in is we have a quiet confidence that everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. We know what condemnation feels like. That real heaviness, like blocks of cement on our feet as we walk, we just feel that we are condemned, that we are rubbish, that we are useless. And that verse just reassures us that that is not how we are. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Everything is going to be all right. The other thing is, we choose to praise God in every situation. Not for the situation, but in every situation. At camp, we could have sat back and gone, God, thank you for the rain that's flooding our tents. But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to give him thanks that we're experiencing something different. But Peter was just saying to me when we were playing that video clip, he said, yes, for some of those kids, this is going to be a moment they'll remember for the rest of their lives. Even if it is just that they had to carry their sleeping bag out in a tub and say, Brian, I think I've got a problem. Can we sort this out before tonight when I have to go back to my tent? And I said, yes, we can do that. We overworked the tumble dryer, by the way. But in the Psalms, we often read this. I will praise you, Lord, my God, with all my heart. I'll praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. And we praise God because he is God. Not because we're having a tough time, but because he's with us. He's given us all these promises. He journeys with us. He's in our lives. That's why we praise him. This is a tough place for me to be, but yet I will praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are always with me. I'm really battling. Thank you, Lord, that you love me. Thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for my life. Jesus Christ is a source of real, everlasting joy. I looked at all of those other places, but this is where we find it. John 15:11. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Some versions say your joy might be complete. Lovely scripture. Hey, that's what I long for, is that complete joy. I'm a naturally glasses half full kind of person. But I have those times when it's tough. Life is tough for us all. Remember, you will have trouble. But there's a place where I'm just saying, Lord, let your joy be made full in me. Sometimes joy is a decision for us, you know that. When I see that taxi driving backwards down the road, well, I didn't see that. I just saw a long column of cars thinking, what is happening here? And then when I see the taxi, there's a way that I can respond. One of the ways I can go is, wow, I would never have seen that in any other country. That's one way. People respond in different ways. Still waiting to see if my video is going to go viral, and that's how I'm going to buy a new pair of shoes, with the proceeds. Anyway, keep moving. But there's a way that we respond, and we can say, I'm going to embrace joy. I'm going to embrace the promises of God. I'm going to embrace the word and where God says it'll be fine. I'm going to grab that with both hands and say, Lord, I want to live this. Or I can do the other thing and not do that at all. Believing in Christ results in joy. There's a story in Acts about the Philippian jailer. It's a beautiful story. So Paul and Silas are cruising around telling people about Jesus, and they come upon this woman who is possessed, and she's a slave, and she foretells the future because of the spirit within her. And her masters make good money out of this. So they take her places, and she tells people what their future is going to be, and those people give them money. It's their livelihood. And this woman for days is pestering Paul and Silas. And they eventually are just over it. So Paul just says, hey, come out. No more of that. And she's released. Unfortunately, the people now, their cash cow is gone. They're not going to make any more money out of this slave. And so they kind of get real excited, and Paul and Silas land up in jail. They are shackled. The door is locked. The jailer is there. In the middle of the night, they're singing praises and talking about Jesus. And the scripture says suddenly the earth shakes and the doors fly open and the shackles are released. The jailer at first thinks, hey, everybody's gone. I'm going to be in real trouble. And he's going to commit suicide. He's going to kill himself because he knows the consequences are going to be harsh. And they say to him, no, hey, we're still here. Imagine that. We're still here. The doors are open. The shackles are gone. But we're still here. Just relax. And he realizes that this is Almighty God that has released them, that has set them free. And he says this. He then brought them out and asked them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be? How do I know this God that has done this miraculous thing? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Come to believe in God. I don't know if you remember that moment when Jesus first moved in your life, when you first said, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive my sin. I want to follow you. You have to remember that moment if you had one, because it's a special moment where we can. I look back at mine and I know how awesome it was for me to just surrender to Almighty God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive my sin. And have that load lifted off my shoulders. That's why we have joy. Another interesting thing, obedience to God's word results in joy. We don't often like the word obedience and joy in the same sentence. I understand. Just be strong. You'll get over it. John 15:9-11. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. This is Jesus speaking. If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this. Why am I telling you to keep my commands? I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Your joy may be full. Commands, following commands, for goodness sake, leads to joy. Why? Because we don't fall into the snares of the evil one. We don't open our mouth and say stupid things. We don't walk against what God has called us to do. That's why we're able to have joy as we follow his commands. We walk with him. And then fellowship with God's people results in joy. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ, we write this to make our joy complete. So as we have fellowship, that's why we meet once a week. It's a service of worship. We worship God, we listen to his word, and we have fellowship. We have fellowship with little people, and we have fellowship with older people. I always say older because I got into trouble once for saying old. It's older people. But that's why we have little people in our church. Because we want them to know what the church is like. I used to do children's ministry and I used to work for Scripture Union. And some churches, the children would be taken out completely. They would never see this. And they would circumvent this moment, the celebration that we have. And they would get to the place at the end of their Sunday school ministry time. Then they'd go to Bible class, which was outside of this. And then they would get to matric and they'd do their confirmation. And then we'd say, come into the church. This is your church. And they'd say, how can it be my church? I was never here. My church is that little room there and that little room there. Hey, fellowship. That's why we have kids. That's why we battle through the difficult moments with kids. That's why we battle through the difficult moments with older people. Because we are all together. This is what it's about. The church was never meant to be one generation. Never. I love that we have older people, we have younger people. We've got some awesome, incredible, fantastic youth in this church. You cannot believe, after a week of being with them, you cannot believe the depth of their spiritual walk. It's beautiful. And then we've got you lovely saints. Older people who love me when it's 10 past 10. And I've got to get to the conclusion. But isn't it a joy? Such a joy that we have people of wisdom, people with lots of life experience. We've got people with energy who shout and scream when we play their video. And we've got little people who walk loudly on the stage. That's okay. Because one day they'll look back and they'll say, you know, I was welcome in that place. And they bring joy. Come on. Just watch them for the joy moments. Ooh, they happen. Oh, hey, good thing. It says conclusion on my piece of paper. Brian, go. Just keep going. So sometimes we see life as a series of hills and valleys. But I read this illustration. I thought it was quite helpful. I think it's better for us to see life as a set of train tracks. And the one track is the difficult stuff, and the one track is the not difficult stuff. And we travel along this track. And there's always good things happening, and there's always tough things happening. And the train that we're on is Jesus Christ. He's taking us towards our destination. And you know, we're going to experience tough things, remember? There will be trouble. But there's all of this joy and these blessings, these promises on this side. And we kind of choose to lean onto one side or the other, but we know that Jesus is the one that's carrying us along. And every day we have these things and we have these things. If you look at your life, sometimes it leans a little bit more this way or a little bit more that way. But we can choose where we dwell longer. And Christ is taking us. We're on that train. That's the important thing, that he takes us to our destination, that we're with him the whole time, that he carries us. Both tracks are parts of our lives, and we need to just, we've got to travel them. And we can take the good and the bad, but major on the joy. He celebrates in our happiness and comforts us in our sorrows. Let Jesus be the source of your joy. Believe in him, be obedient to him, and fellowship with him and with those on this journey of life with you. I'd like to end with a psalm, and it's out of the message, so it's kind of different, okay? And it's good sometimes to go there. This is the psalm, Psalm 33, 20 to 22. We're depending on God. He's everything we need. What's more, our hearts brim with joy since we've taken for our own his holy name. Love us, God, with all you've got. That's what we're depending on. What a beautiful promise. So lean into him this morning and lean into his joy. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one who is the author of joy. That we don't have to try and invent joy, but that we can lean into you and experience your joy. Help us today, Lord. We find ourselves in different places. Some of us need to lean in more strongly into you because joy is not something that we see. Won't you help us, we pray. Help us, Lord, that we see joy in many different places, that we experience your joy through life, that we're able to lean into your word and that you will speak to our hearts, speak to us words of encouragement about your joy. Show us, Lord, what it is to live a life in your joy. Help us as we travel along these train tracks, Lord, to know that you're carrying us. It doesn't matter where we are, Lord, which track we lean into, but help us to know that you're the one that is with us. We want to know your joy. We want it to be full and complete in our lives. So help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.